Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for November the 14th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we got a ton of work to come to do when it comes to restoring the Republic. We talked about that last hour with Dr. Scott Bradley in detail. We talked about founding fathers warned against the two-party system. We talked about thou shalt not steal. We talked about the proper role of limited government based on jurisdictions, based on checks and balances, based on chaining down all bureaucrats and all professional do-gooders so they can't get control of the system. We've rejected a convention of the states. We've rejected parties. We've rejected these things that have destroyed our country big time. That was last hour. It'll be up after this hour. You can listen to it and share it with your friends widely. Incredible show with Dr. Scott Bradley. Going back to Saturday's show, we had on Chris Carlson. He was with me. And Chris Carlson says, without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for the freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Amen to that. And we talked about the red wave that never came. Yeah, they all blame Trump for the red wave failure. I don't believe it should be blamed on Trump exactly. But again, I always praise Trump when he does good, and I criticize Trump when he does bad, because it's not about Trump, it's about principles. And when Donald Trump starts criticizing Ron DeSantis, I think he's off his rails, off his rocker. Doesn't make sense. Not that I think DeSantis is perfect, but he's better than most, that's for sure. And fractions within conservatives is not helpful, especially on the heels of a red wave never materializing. It sounds just like everybody's whining and blaming somebody else, never taking personal responsibility. Anyway, we also talked about all this added to the delight of the mainstream press saying that, hey, endorsed by Trump is the kiss of death. But understand, there's a big battle going on. They want to use these runoff elections, which I think they're criminal. The runoff elections are, look, in 97% of primary runoff elections or elections that are runoffs, look, less people vote in those. So what you might have is somebody who got more votes in the election and then the runoff and they get less votes, but they still could win. It's very, very manipulative and strange, to say the least, folks. Beware of that. With all the documentation of mail-in vote fraud, why would the Democrats give up all that power? The answer is they wouldn't. We talked about Joel Skousen and his incredible World Affairs brief where he says, what this tells us is that someone is watching the results, holding a batch of Democratic ballots in reserve, and then injecting them into the final tally. Sometimes they do it early, sometimes they do it late, but they've learned now with these delays and everything else to commit vote fraud and to do so very, very, let's just say this. Without transparency, we'll just deliver the information. You know, it's going to be late, but we're going to get it all right. We're going to count your vote. And all these ploys are the deception. The wrong people are promoting DeSantis. We highlighted that. You know, Ron is a pretty good guy in many ways. But look, along with blaming Donald Trump for the lack of a powerful red wave, why are the establishment clearly in the tank for Ron DeSantis? Is it just because they hate Trump? Or do they know something we don't know and they're backing DeSantis for reasons we don't know? I don't know the answer, but all I know is it never goes well when the mainstream press backs somebody when it comes to the principles of liberty. I can tell you that. Now, Chris Carlson had questions in the second hour. If elections have consequences, then what are those consequences? what happens when one sector of society rejoices when the Democrats are in charge? Another sector of society rejoices when the Republicans are in charge. But we get led down the same primrose path of deception. Chris Carlson also said, should the right to vote be handed out like candy? Remember, you used to have to be a property owner. Now you can be an illegal alien and still vote, right? It is disaster. Anyway, then we had William F. Jasper on the radio with us. And he is an investigative journalist, a well-known editor of the New American Magazine, newamerican.com, He talked about in his speech at the Red Pill, which I'll get into in a second, secret societies then and now. And we talked about the Great Reset. We talked about the World Economic Forum. We talked in detail about, hey, they're changing the game. There's an article on the John Birch Society website called Stop the Reset. And we talked about all these things. Anyway, we finished up with Chris Carlson talking about this example of a resident of Bosnia during the civil war in Bosnia, or the Serbian war, I'm sorry. And he gives his account, and here's the guidance that he gave us for survival. You ready? Strength is in numbers. Even a man living alone will get killed and or robbed. It's a matter of time, even if he's armed. You just can't do it alone, folks. There's strength in numbers. He also talked about the most protected houses were looted first. And you would think that, no, they would have the strongest defense. Not often so. And they took those on because they felt like they could go to weaker pickings later when they don't have as many resources, right? So they attack the strongest houses, the most protected houses first. You need guns and ammo first, he said. Second is everything else. Why? Because if you have enough guns and ammo, you can always trade. But if you don't have guns and ammo, there will be no access to trade for you. He finished by saying hygiene is very important, and so is getting as much medication as possible, including antibiotics. Many people died from insufficient hygiene. Anyway, that's a recap of Saturday's show and the first hour today. Why do I bring that up? Because I was at the Red Pill Saturday, and it was a great event. There wasn't near enough people there, though, folks. I don't know if they didn't have time to get the word out enough on this, but a lot of Utahns didn't really realize it was even happening. So it was a very small but very dedicated crowd. A lot of great speeches were given. A lot of great booths were there. I had a wonderful time. I enjoyed myself. I had the opportunity to broadcast live from there. I've got several interviews in the queue that we'll be playing over the next several days from those interviews that I conducted. But I had a lot of people interview me as well. I was on a bunch of different radio and TV shows promoting the Liberty Roundtable Live, promoting the CSPOA, and talking about the different guests that I have on the radio, Lowell Nelson, Scott Bradley, many others. So it was just a tremendous time. I even had Bill Jasper interview me. The article and the video should come out soon where I'll be on The New American. So that's kind of great news. Anyway, it was a wonderful time had by all. But again, I'm just so sad. You know, you got 3 million people in Utah and not near enough of them were able to get the wonderful knowledge and education. Not enough of them were able to rub shoulders with real patriots, true movers and shakers. You know, G. Edward Griffin, one of the leaders of that organization, and, you know, he's 90 years old now. He's doing well. He's sharp as a tack, and he's the one that puts on the Red Pill Expos. And, man, he brings a lot of education in. It's just tremendous. Anyway, with that, we'll bring Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, on the broadcast. Welcome, sir.
Well, good to be with you, Sam. Thanks for having me on your show this morning.
Thanks for your patience with my summary and all that. I want to make sure that it kind of works out, whatever you want to say. Well, there's so much going on right now. There's so much going on right now, it seems. It's just hard to even put it all in perspective what's going on.
Yeah,
right,
I do have a couple comments about your summary, Sam. I wanted to point
please.
Out. Yeah, the you know, this red wave that never materialized. The big networks, they're making a lot of hay. I mean, that's their talking point instead of talking about the win. For example, they're calling anybody who is supported by Trump was a loser. Well, that's not true. There were over 200 campaign victories. I mean, over 200 candidates supported by Trump who won. There were fewer than 20 supported by Trump that lost. Well, see, the lamestream media is focusing on those 20-some-odd races and saying, look, these guys all lost. Therefore, the people of America have rejected Trump and rejected his ideology, you know, the Make America Great effort again. And that they're simply ignoring the well over 200 candidates supported by Trump who won, right? And so this is a big lie being spread by the lamestream media today, and it's been going on for several days. It's been going on for nearly a week now. So all they can talk about is, oh, this red wave that never materialized. But what they failed and what they're purposely omitting is the fact that over 200 Trump-supported candidates won their races. We're talking about, you know, gubernatorial as well as state legislative level races as well as congressional races. So we mustn't be disheartened by this media fanfare about this red wave that never materialized. They are omitting a very key part of the story, and that is that many of the Trump-supported candidates won their races this past week. Now, that's my first point. My second point, Sam, is that in passing, you mentioned the fact that we have basically two factions in red and blue, basically, here in America, and they get upset. They have a low-grade civil war every 2 years called elections, which is, you know, people get upset and say, oh, we need to get the Republicans in power. And then the Democrats get upset and they say, we need the Democrats in power. But what we really need, Sam, is true federalism. Federalism is where every state can be diverse and can, take full responsibility for the domestic issues within their geographic boundaries and political jurisdiction. It's okay for Idaho and Utah to be one way and California to be another. We don't need top-down, one-size-fits-all policy from Washington, D.C. being forced on the whole country. Sam?
Amen to that. Hang tight. A whole lot more from Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson's with me, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. And I want to highlight, Lowell, a few points you made, because I think they're spot on and critical to understand. Let's be very clear. First off, they want to blame all the losses on Trump. Just so you know, folks, Donald Trump was not on the ballot, okay? So Donald Trump didn't lose or win anything. You could say, well, Trump's back candidates didn't do very well. And I agree that they expected to take more than they got. I get it. But to suggest that there was no winners is an absolute lie. To suggest that it's all Donald's fault is an absolute lie. And to pretend that the Republican ideals are on the ropes is an outright lie. Now, I'm not backing Republicans 100%. There's some Republicans I like, some I don't like so well. But nevertheless, let's be very clear. Mike Lee was a huge win. Ron DeSantis was a huge win. Those are just a couple of the points we're making here, folks. Those are not small wins. And so let's be very clear about what we're talking about. Did the red wave materialize as well as we had hoped? No. Is it going to be a lot tougher? Yes, because now the Democrats control the Senate. But the truth is that how much vote fraud was there really? And that, I believe, is one of the critical questions we must not jettison. We must stand with. Let's separate the issue and say it isn't about Donald Trump. It's about conservative constitutional values. It's about those who will be elected who will uphold their oaths of office. It's about the proper role of limited constitutional government. Let's not lose sight of what's important. Let's not pretend that our Savior Donald failed us. He's not our Savior, folks. Jesus Christ is. And it wasn't about Donald. He wasn't even on the ballot. You could say, well, he backed a bunch of candidates. Yeah, a lot of people backed candidates. Some won, some lost. But there's a whole lot more wins than they're admitting. And they're trying to engineer this to their advantage going into 24. Let's not let them succeed at that either, ladies and gentlemen. But there's a lot of reasons for it, I think. Lack of education in the people is part of the problem. But, Lowell, let's kind of finish up there before we go into an incredible article that Ron Paul wrote.
Great point, Sam, every one of them. One of the reasons DeSantis won so big in Florida, I believe, is that the election process in Florida is much better than in the rest of the country, right? In other words, they've made reforms to their election process in Florida such that they are not allowing some of the corruption in to their system that other states have allowed into theirs, such as Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Nevada, and perhaps even in Arizona, where, you know, a few tweaks have been made, but not nearly to the extent that has been made in Florida. So on one hand, you can attribute DeSantis's win not only to the fact that he's very popular there because he fought back and pushed back against the lockdowns and the masking and the COVID claw shots and stuff like that, but also because the election law is much cleaner, more transparent, and better in Florida than in other states. So, that's just, spot on. Yeah, Trump was not on the ballot, just like you said. And these other states are murkier because they have, worse election law. Now, Utah is basically a red state. And so it's not really a battleground state, so you don't see the corruption here. But I guarantee you, Sam, that if this were a battleground state, that we would see the corruption here because our election law is very lax here in Utah. We actually mandate mail-in ballots in our state code. It's a shall. It's not a may. It's a shall. Elections shall be conducted by mail-in ballots. And that is a huge opening for corruption, in our state. So we have got to change, Utah, and there's a bunch of us here in Utah that are working to change that, legislative or by citizen initiative if necessary. But I'm just saying that that's one reason why, some of these states are murky and some of them, like Florida, are clear cut because of the election process in statute, it's written into statute. And legislatures in these various states, especially these battleground states, they need to take control of their election process. They need to tighten it up. They need to, prohibit mail-in voting, which is what France did in 1975. They don't allow it at all. The sooner we clean things up here in our states, the better. Sam, thank you.
I want to also highlight this. There's a lot of disparity between the states, et cetera. But you know what? The red states have gone more red and the blue states have gone more blue. And I'm not here to talk about red and blue and parties necessarily. What's backing that division, though, is belief in and understanding of proper principles, self-government, the proper role of government. That's what's at stake. And I really think we need to kind of realize that the divide, the chasm is growing ever wider. And I expect that to increase at an alarming rate, Lowell.
I think you're right, Sam, because there are some people who are just all in for red state policy. There's some people who are just all in for blue state policy. And it's pretty rare for someone to change their ideology. I guess as they grow up and get older, they tend to move from blue to red. But it's an increasing divide. And the only way to live peacefully as a country is to allow the red state policies to have their policies and blue states to have their policy. We cannot pursue a top-down, one-size-fits-all policy and try to impose that on all states in the union and still have peace. And instead, we're getting this low-grade civil war every 2 years that I mentioned earlier, and that's just not healthy. We need to allow, the states to pursue their own policies. And what that means is that we need the general government to keep their nose out of domestic issues such as, education or abortion or election law, family law, and so forth. I mean, these are issues that are clearly domestic issues, and the states have plenary authority to decide them, and we need to allow the states that liberty to do so. The states need to take back that liberty, actually. I mean, the general government has encroached upon their turf, and the states need to put up the barriers. And, Madison says he'd erect the barriers, legislative barriers, and then states need to make these decisions themselves and ignore, cries from the general government that they need to do things differently. Sam?
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Incredible commentary from Lowell Nelson. And you know what? Ron Paul has incredible commentary in his latest article as well that backs up the very points we're making. Lowell?
He said, thank you. This column was posted at ronpaulinstitute.org. In his column, he observes that, quote, once the voting is over and the smoke has cleared, not much changes. The Washington Uniparty takes over and makes sure the status quo is maintained, end of quote. I think that's pretty true, Sam. Regardless of the results of the elections, not much is going to change in Washington, D.C. However, he says, it really doesn't have to be this way. The new incoming Congress could be different if they simply would be different. Ron Paul, so he then offers the following three suggestions. Number one, end the massive money spigot opened by the last Congress for Ukraine. By some estimates, some $60 billion have been authorized for Ukraine to fight a proxy war between the U.S. and NATO and Russia. A recent poll conducted by the Wall Street Journal, he says, showed that only 37% of Republicans support more U.S. aid to Ukraine. And by the way, Sam, in a previous column and previous show, we've discussed what this aid to Ukraine means. And I guess any aid to any war-torn country really means it's basically bailout money to the armament manufacturers. This money doesn't go to the country of Ukraine. It goes to their armament manufacturers here in the States, the fat cats, the cronies of the people in Congress, the people who are filling their campaign coffers with money, with the monetary donations, for ensuring their reelection. Those are the companies who build weapons and planes and trains and tanks and so forth. Those are the companies that get most of this foreign aid. So when Congress passes a bill with money earmarked for Ukraine, most of that money goes to these cronies in the United States who build the weapons of war that then go to Ukraine. So I just want to be clear about that. Plus, Sam, on his first point, he makes this point. He says, ending the proxy war with Russia also reduces the likelihood of a global nuclear war. The more the proxy war escalates, the more likely nuclear war becomes. I think that's a very important first point. His second point, Sam, is that Republicans should defund the Department of Homeland Security. At the time this department was created, he said this on the House floor. And that's kind of a long quote. Maybe we ought to save this for after the break. But he is against the Department of Homeland Security, and he explains why. Sam?
And so am I. We'll talk more in seconds with our dear friend, Lowell Nelson, in seconds on your radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Over the weekend, it's been determined Democrats will retain control of the Senate after Senator Catherine Cortez Masto won a tight race in Nevada over Republican Adam Laxalt, giving the party the 50 seats it needs for a majority. The senator shortly after the victory announcement.
Like all of you, I'm a Nevadan, and I know what it takes to deliver for my home state. So when the national pundits said I couldn't win, I knew Nevada would prove them wrong.
President Biden and Chinese leader Xi Jinping are meeting today at the site of the G20 summit in Bali, Indonesia. It will be the first in-person meeting between the two leaders since Biden took office. The White House announced topics will focus on how to manage rising competition between the two superpowers. Six people have died after two vintage military planes collided midair on Saturday afternoon and crashed in flames before a crowd of thousands who came to see them fly at a World War II air show in Dallas, Texas. The B-17 Flying Fortress bomber and a P-63 King Cobra fighter crashed in an area where no other people were hurt. Ukrainian authorities are working to restore electricity and water in Kherson after Russia retreated from the city, leaving it without electricity, heat, water, or cell phone service. Ukrainian forces that swept through the port city over the weekend were greeted by jubilant crowds. NASA officials inspecting the Artemis 1 moon rocket say it appears to have made it through Hurricane Nicole mostly unscathed. Sensors at Pad 39B at Cape Canaveral, Florida, recorded peak winds gusting up to 82 miles an hour during the storm. The goal of the Artemis project is to build a working base at the south pole of the moon by 2030. The unmanned mission is scheduled to launch Wednesday. USA Radio News.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-568-2790. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-568-2790. That's 800-568-2790. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-568-2790.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, here on Liberty Roundtable. This is Lowell Nelson with Sam Bushman. Just before the break, I was talking about this awesome column drafted by, written by Ron Paul and posted at theronpaulinstitute.org. His second point, his second suggestion for the newly, you know, the new incoming Congress would be to demand, well, defund the Department of Homeland Security. Because at the time this department was created, Ron Paul said the following on the floor of the U.S. House, quote, "The list of dangerous and unconstitutional powers granted to the new Homeland Security Department is lengthy. Warrantless searches, forced vaccinations of whole communities, federal neighborhood snitch programs, federal information databases, and a sinister new information awareness office at the Pentagon that uses military intelligence to spy on domestic citizens are just a few of the troubling aspects of the new legislation," end quote. That was
it's a little shocking how much, how far we have fallen and how much is related to some of these simple ideas, right, Lowell?
It is shocking. I mean, and he warned us right there as they were debating the bill that would actually make the Homeland Security Department a reality. And he warned the American people he warned Congress, his fellow colleagues in Congress, about what would happen. And these things have come true. I mean, we are there now. 20 years ago, he argued against it, but we are there now, unfortunately. His predictions have come to pass, and much more. We've even gone further than what he predicted, down the drain, so to speak, further down the drain. The promise was, you know, when they consider this legislation, was that the Department of Homeland Security would keep us safer. But he says, quote, there is nothing that makes us less safe than the destruction of our Constitution, end of quote. Boy, that for sure is true. We fail to follow our Constitution, the deeper down the drain we sink as a country, and with it goes our liberties, our freedoms, and our rights, our prosperity. So we really have to have, we must halt this incredible drain of, you know, the Constitution going down the drain. So the third point he brings out is a bill to audit the Fed. The U.S. House approved this bill about 10 years ago, but it died in the Senate. Why not open the books and be transparent? Inflation is out of control. We're defrauding the middle class of its wealth. And he says this. He says, quote, the Biden administration seems determined to lead us to a potentially life-ending war with Russia. The Department of Homeland Security has turned into a weapon mobilized against the American people and our Constitution, end of quote. Well, he finishes up his column. He writes, Congress could actually do something to fix these problems and thus make us more safe and more free. But, as is often the case with Ron Paul, he ends his column with a question. This question is, but will they? Question mark. That really is the question, Sam. Will Congress do anything to halt this salacious slide?
The answer is no for two reasons. Number one, you've got deep state Republicans that are betrayers. The two parties are really like the left and the right wings of the same bird of prey. You've really got, as Ron Paul wisely called it, he says, once the voting is over, I know you said this, but I want to repeat this because it's really important. Once the voting is over, says Dr. Ron Paul, and the smoke is cleared, not much changes. The Washington Uniparty takes over and makes sure the status quo is maintained. That's really the deal there.
And it's the deal because it's the leadership in Washington, D.C. that pulls the levers. It's not like we have 535 equal members back there. I mean, that's the way it should be, but it's not the way it actually is. You know, Thomas Massey blew the lid off of this, you know, a couple of years ago with his YouTube videos about what really happened back in Washington, D.C., about the patronage system at the new incoming congressman. They have to, if they want to be on a committee, they have to pony up, a bunch of money, $500,000 to be on a mediocre committee, $1 million if they want to be on an important committee. And so they're really subservient. There's a system of patronage back there. And if you, as long as you play the game, then you might have a voice. But if you don't play their game, you don't have a voice. And the leadership holds things up. They don't allow things to come to the floor. They shut you down. And so it really is not a system of 535 people in Congress. It's a system of a few, just a small handful of leaders at the top that determine what gets heard in Congress. That's the leverage that the powers that be have over our Congress. And it's sad but true. And that's why the general direction in Washington, D.C. will not change. They might tweak a few things here and there, yes, but the general direction remains unaltered, and so that's why things won't change much in Congress. Sam?
Ladies and gentlemen, look, Ron Paul basically highlights this. Dr. Paul says three things we need to focus on, and boy, howdy, is he right. End the massive money spigot opened by the last Congress for Ukraine. End it. We don't need war. And the potential of a literal nuclear war or whatever else is increased massively by this. We have got to de-escalate. And it starts with defunding this. Shut that down. Defund the Department of Homeland Security. If that is not one, I don't know. Look, the Republicans created that, folks. Let's be very clear. So the likelihood of them turning around and getting rid of it is almost zero. But that's what we need to do. And the Republicans made a grave mistake in putting that in place in the first place. Look how abusive it's become towards the citizens, especially like soccer mom being called terrorist because she goes down to the school board and says, hey, don't you know, transgender my child, and they say you're a terrorist kind of stuff. Look, Homeland Security is absolute disaster, and it was pretty much put in place by and funded and continued by the Republicans, folks. The last one, pass a bill to audit the Fed. Again, we need to work on that, because if we want honesty in society, it starts with honest money. And you know what? There's an incredible article in lewrockwell.com right now by Ryan McMakin that highlights the very point we're making and tells us where solutions are, Lowell.
Yes, he answered the question that Ron Paul posed in his column about, you know, what is Congress really going to do anything? And so Ryan answers, basically explaining in his column, he agrees with Ron, very little will change in Washington, D.C., but the real answers are to be found in the states. He says this. Just reading down through it a little bit further. All changes will be at the state and the local level. That's where the most meaningful changes will be. For example, and he didn't put this in his column, but I'm just citing this example. The Alpine School Board, which is one of the largest school districts in the state of Utah, for those of you in outlying states who are not familiar with Utah, the Alpine School District is one of the largest school boards in the state of Utah. They recently agreed to remove pornographic material from their school libraries. Well, that is certainly a step in the right direction. And so is that the most meaningful change? Well, it might be, you know, for the
students. It's certainly one of them for the youth, no doubt about it. They're also working on reducing the size of that school district and possibly chopping it in half so that where you had another school district, which I think, again, the closer the bureaucrats are to the people, the better as well, Lowell.
Exactly, Sam. I hope that happens, because the closer the government is to the people, the better the government will be. And so that's why the real change we need to focus on, folks, is you know, forget Congress. You know, we've done the very best we could. We try to get the very best people there, and there are a few freedom fighters there in Congress, and that's well and good. But
and we're grateful for them, by the way.
Oh, absolutely grateful for them. Glad that they are there fighting for liberty and telling the tale of freedom, just like Ron Paul labored for nearly 24 years in Congress, preaching the right doctrine, the doctrine of liberty, the philosophy of liberty, whatever it is. Telling the tale of liberty, and he did that for almost 24 years, folks, and we are so grateful to him for doing that. There are, a handful, maybe two handfuls of freedom, liberty-oriented people in Congress. We're glad for them, and we'll continue to support them there. We need more of them there. But now that election is over, the midterms are over, let's focus on the states. Let's focus on our locales, our communities, our school boards. That's where real change, meaningful change, is going to occur.
And the Nullify Now focus from Tom Woods is really the key to this exercise in so many ways, Lowell.
Oh, absolutely right, Sam. You know, COVID helped to illustrate the importance of state-level and county-level policy and also the divergence of policy among the various states. Yes, Sam, as you and I both know, states do have the authority to obstruct or to ignore federal policy. And we can get into that deeper right after this break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Liberty Roundtable live on your internet radio.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Lowell Nelson, Sam Bushman on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about where the solutions are found. You know, we've done all we can for the general government, ladies and gentlemen, and sadly, there's too many socialists. The big states, such as New York, Illinois, California, they've got so many electoral voters and so many, electoral college voters. It's going to be very hard at that level to make any real fundamental change, especially with Republicans and Democrats, really at the deep state level, the same party, folks. The answer is to go to the states. That's where we can make a lot of difference. The states, the real battle is within the states, says Ryan McMakin. He's spot on at lourockwell.com. And we're talking about this point that I'm making really about, Nullify Now is one of the great keys that you started to respond to, Lowell.
Nullify Now is the answer, and that's exactly what Madison explained in Federalist number 46. He did not say we need to vote the bums out. He did not say we need to file lawsuits. What he said was four things, the four keys to stopping the encroachment upon our liberties of a general government, of an overreaching general government. He says we nullify extra constitutional acts with citizen protests, gubernatorial complaints, refusing to cooperate with officers of the union, and erecting legislative barriers. That's all in Federalist number 46, where he describes.
And let's be careful. When we talk about protests, we're talking about you have the right to peacefully assemble, ladies and gentlemen. You have the right to your free speech. Let's go back to the five fundamentals in the First Amendment. Let's not think that means riot, because it doesn't. I know modern-day views make you believe that, but it's an absolute satanic lie, Lowell.
Thank you for that clarification. Madison calls it the disquietude of the people. I'm the one that said citizen rally or citizen protest, but yeah, it's a rally.
Yeah, and I just want to be very clear, though. You have every right to express your displeasure. You have every right for a redress of grievance. You have every right to your free speech. But you don't have the right to destroy others' property. You don't have the right to riot. You don't have the right to fund and commit violence. You don't have any of those rights, folks. That's a perversion based on communist agitators in the United States with an agenda to divide and conquer. Let's be very, very clear. All right, any final word on that, Lowell?
Well put, Sam. In McBacon's, he puts it in his words. He puts it this way: states do have the ability to push back against federal policymakers. States can interfere with federal education policy. States can refuse to enforce federal gun laws, and many states have, by the way. States can make their own abortion policy, and that's been happening as well. States can refuse to do what they're told by the general government. And that really is the key, folks. Be a fan of federalism. Federalism is the concept that states can be diverse. You can have different policy in one state than in another. And that's and then people can move, right? You can move from one state to another. If you don't like the policy of one state, you go to another. And that is the magic of federalism. And that, if we fully embrace federalism, Sam, we wouldn't have these low-grade civil wars every 2 years, because we wouldn't be so worried about the general government imposing their policy upon the entire country. Sam?
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot of work to do, and we need to know where to focus. We need to know what to spend our time on. And Lowell, and these incredible articles that we're watching in lourockwell.com, we're seeing these articles in ronpaulinstitute.org, campaignforliberty.org. That's where we're seeing the solutions. JBS.org, thenewamerican.com, WND.com, TheEpicTimes.com. These people are not only bringing the truth to the table, but they're providing solutions and clear guidance of what we can do. An incredible whistleblower and a dear friend, Patrick Byrne, attended the event in Branson, Missouri. Lowell was there.
What an awesome speech he gave. You know, Patrick Byrne, he is a whistleblower. If he wasn't a whistleblower before, he's definitely a whistleblower now, because he blew the whistle long and loud for about an hour Saturday afternoon. He made a number of very bold statements, information you rarely hear in public. He named names. He was like taking no prisoners. This was just bombshell after bombshell. And his talk is, you can find it on Rumble. I'm not sure where else you can get it, but you can find it on Rumble. You just search for Patrick Byrne, Branson, and you can listen to the full hour. I'm just going to hit a few of the highlights here, Sam, some of the tasty tidbits to whet your appetite. One of the things he said committed 10,000 years of felonies by public revealing what he did on stage at the event. He mentioned that, you know, in a little interview.
And it's only felonies because they swear you to secrecy whenever you work for the government or whatever else. It's not felonies. In fact, it's fidelity to the people and fidelity to the Constitution by his whistleblowing. It's felonies because of the way they manipulate the laws right now. But it's truth to the people and truth to power, Lowell.
Absolutely right. He said this when he's talking to the host of a show called Flyover Country following his speech, quote, "I'd pay $10 million to be tried for sedition in a military court next week. If I'm convicted, hang me. If I'm lying about this stuff, hang me. With six witnesses, with 10 minutes each, I can prove what happened, and they're going to be hanging Mark Milley and Lloyd Austin, his own people, because these guys have betrayed their constitutional oath, as well as, of course, injecting them, violating the Nuremberg Convention by injecting non-FDA-approved vaccines. These guys are out of their mind. This is the last chance America gets to save itself," end of quote. I mean, that's a powerful, I mean, name names. He named General Mark Milley, and he named Lloyd Austin. He says, these are the guys that have betrayed their constitutional oath, and I can prove it in court. He says, bring it on. Put me on trial. And if in one day, a military court, if I'm convicted, then hang me. I mean, these are strong words coming from Patrick Byrne, Sam.
Amen to that. He also, though, points to the elections and doubles down with inside information as well, Lowell.
Boy, he sure did. And that was the essence of his meeting with Donald Trump on, I think it was the December 18th meeting, where he was talking about, he snuck into the White House for a four-hour conversation with President Trump and with others. Rudy Giuliani was there in the room as well. And Rudy betrayed us, folks, after that meeting. I'll tell you why in a second. What they discussed was the Department of Homeland Security's warnings about the election hacking that was about to take place in 2020. We're talking about the general election of 2020. So they discussed the October 6th threat to the nation report from the DHS, which said on page 9, it talks all about the threat to the American election coming up. They discussed the October 22nd bulletin, talking about how the Iranians were trying to attack our systems. They discussed the October 30 and November 3rd bulletin from the FBI and the DHS that put out a statement that the Iranians had in fact hacked the election systems in one state, and that there were other nation states joining in the cyber attack on our election system, right? And so these warnings came from the FBI and the DHS weeks before the general election actually happened. Now on December 8th, they put out a report about the huge cyber escalation against the U.S. And also they discussed the December 16 report from CISA, C-I-S-A, that's the cybersecurity group there within the DHS. They announced that the SolarWinds largest hack in history, right? 425 out of the 500 of the top U.S. corporations were hacked using a vulnerability in SolarWinds software. All of the U.S. government was hacked, all of the military, the CIA, the NSA, the DHS, the CISA, the cybersecurity folks. And Patrick said this. He said, anyone who had a key to the SolarWinds hack had a key to every election machine in America that was running the ServeU product, which means they had unlimited administrative access to the databases. And most of the databases, they were running SQL, which is a, you know, SQL Server, right? A tool that lets you change entries in the database. That's the connection that Sam just pointed out. The connection basically Patrick was telling us, Darren Branson last week, telling the world what they discussed in that December 18th meeting with President Trump. They were not planning to grab all the electors from the various states and overturn the election. That's not what they were discussing. They were discussing actual election hacks that were reported by the FBI, the DHS, and by the cybersecurity team, and what to do about it. And now we come to the perfidy of Rudy Giuliani. Patrick and basically convinced President Trump that they need to do a brief investigation. They need to do a brief investigation to see whether the attack actually happened, and Trump agreed to that after the 4-hour meeting, and after Patrick left, Rudy Giuliani changed the president's mind. That's what Patrick Byrne talked about in his speech. It was Rudy Giuliani that changed the president's mind. They talked him out of it after Patrick had left the White House. And that's a sad, sad deal. But Rudy Giuliani, he's not a good guy, folks. As much as he promoted, you know, all of this election fraud with Sidney Powell and stuff.
We all know Trump's got a lot of bad guys surrounding him, and that's a lot of the problem with Trump. He has good instinct, but he surrounds himself with bad actors, and it pays the pay dirt is what you see Donald Trump do, the fast track of, vaccines, we see this and not getting into the election fraud like he should have. He did a lot of good by speaking out about it, but he hasn't done anything in terms of substantive change. Patrick basically said anyone who has a key to the SolarWinds, has the hack, if they've got ServeU software, all these have been compromised. Finally, Patrick announced, sadly, that he's been diagnosed with cancerous tumors in his spine. And that's given him the courage, because he's going to die anyway, is the bottom line. That's what's given him the courage to speak out so boldly and challenge these people. And he says, hey, he'll prove it. What he wants is it to be televised, lol.
That's his condition. He says, come get me, folks. Come, let's have a military tribunal last one day. I'll call 6 witnesses. I'll spend 10 minutes each with them. Just give me 1 hour to make my defense. And you'll end up hanging Millie and that other fellow instead of me, because they're the ones who are truly guilty of this. And so, I mean, it was amazing.
But you know the government will never do it, right?
No,
you know this will never happen. They'll leave him alone and let him die of the cancerous tumors or whatever. And I pray that doesn't happen, but I'm just telling you. So, Patrick, in my opinion, whatever you want to call it, deathbed whistleblower, so to speak, but what a hero. Lol, and he's laying out the truths. Whether we can actually see pay dirt with these truths or not, time will tell. But again, I see oftentimes that, you know, we talk about this stuff, but yet the deep state never seems to be forced to acquiesce or deal with the truth. Their cover-ups are too great. They have too much control of the media, I guess.
Yes, and one more plea from Patrick. He says, please send this video to all of your friends. Because the mainstream media is not going to touch this, but we have to get this out, folks. If you're listening to this broadcast right now, please get a copy of his video. It's on Rumble, Patrick Byrne Branson. Get a copy of this on Rumble and share it with your friends. Share with everybody. This word needs to get out. We need to understand how deep the deep state is and the terrible things that are being done by the deep state, Sam.
Lowell Nelson with us, ladies and gentlemen, campaignforliberty.org, RonPaulInstitute.org, doing a phenomenal job, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. For Dr. Scott Bradley, for Lowell Nelson and Sam Bushman, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.